What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler, this morning. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Lance? How you doing, man?
Good. I've got my mask here. Internet connection's not great at the other place, so I'm in studio. Me and Tyler are spraying stuff down, wiping things down. I've got a mask.
Yeah.
I'm feeling safe.
I'm pretty sure you got some like usual suspects in there and stuff, so I would
I don't think so. Do they, Tyler? I don't think so.
No, I think the only people still using it are Charlie and Braddock. Late Hits.
Yeah. And who?
Late Hits and Charlie.
Oh, Late Hits. Yeah, they probably got cootie, so I would spray it down.
Well, that's what I did. I sprayed it down, so we're good.
No. So you wearing your mask everywhere now?
Yesterday was the first time I found it. I had it for a long time. Well, for about 6 weeks, I guess, 7 weeks. And then yesterday was the first day I tried to wear it. It's not super comfortable, I can tell you that, but whatever. Either
is
having pulmonary
right
issues.
Now?
Huh?
Are you wearing it right now?
For what? For what? For who? I've sprayed down everything.
For what? For who?
Yeah, I don't have to. Ricky Waters. For what?
You're going over the middle, Ricky?
Yeah. I don't have to wear it right now in my place of business. Am I out in public? No.
No.
I sprayed this thing down with about 10 pounds of disinfectant. I'm good. If the coronavirus is alive through that, I'm dead anyway. Doesn't matter.
It kind of does matter.
If you spray it down with that much disinfectant and it's still alive, then it's either not truth in advertising or this coronavirus is mutated into something that cannot be killed by disinfectant.
Did you shoot up the disinfectant?
I don't listen to anything Trump says anymore.
What?
I'm thinking maybe we put some light inside of our bodies. Like, all right, I got to turn the channel. I'm going back. No. I finished the last episode of Bosch. I finished Bosch. Whenever he told me to shoot up Clorox and put light in my body or whatever, I'm like, I knew I won't listen to this. So I finished Bosch.
You did.
Season 6. I'm on Sweet Bitter thanks to Brian Zygo. Brian's always got interesting stuff. So I'm on that. That has to do with Tyler. You might like that show actually. Sweet Bitter is about the restaurant world. Tyler, you worked in a restaurant before, right?
I was a part of the service.
For many years. This is a book. It's based on a book that was written in 2006, I think, by a woman who worked for Danny Meyer. Danny Meyer, he's the one who started Shake Shack in New York, but he's got a ton of great restaurants in New York. And so it's all about the service industry in that one place. And it's this one girl who decides to move to New York. It's based on a real story. And so it's on Stars, but you can find it on demand from Stars Channel. I don't know if you have that or not, but I don't think you would like it, John. I think Tyler might, since he was a waiter. He might.
I was
be
a waiter and bartender.
I just don't think you'll like this. I would not tell you that. I don't think you should watch this one.
Well, now I'm going to watch it. Okay.
I would not watch it if I were you. You're not going to like it.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to. What's the name of it?
I'm not telling you. It's called Little Crazy Richie Monderston.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, then I'm definitely watching it now. With an interesting name like that.
So we had. So my son is really into. he's really into sports. My oldest at the house, Alec, and he's the one that watches. You know, tapes Coward, tapes First Take, watches the Pat McAfee podcast every day. Reads just everything, and I gave him my draft binder, and he goes, my draft binder is about, it's like 600 or 700 pages. It's enormous. So So he's been pouring through the whole thing. And I always catch him arguing sports on his phone with his friends. Now they do it either through phone or they argue through video chats. And he's got a couple friends that he argues sports about. And his argument now is it's pretty – they've had a pretty consistent argument going over the last 2 weeks. I should say over the last week. And that has been about Jordan. And it's because, you know, he watches – now, he knows a little something about basketball history, so he already had a respect for Michael Jordan. But after watching Last Dance, he's just really all in on Jordan. So – he and his friends will argue about Jordan. They argue about Jordan versus LeBron. I had a friend of mine yesterday tell me that his son is trying to say that Kevin Durant is better than Jordan. And my buddy's like, Durant would have literally gotten folded in half and quit the league if he had to play against the Bad Boy Pistons. He would not. And I really honestly think Kevin is so soft. I just don't think he could have made it out of the Eastern Conference against the Pistons. It would not have been good, I can tell you that. And he's crazy talented, but that was, you had to be a different, to be the number one guy. And Kevin's game is all about, like, he doesn't like being touched. Kevin is always trying to social distance. Remember when Pat Beverly was up under his chin and defending him real tight, and he's like, don't do that. And he was felt very sad and anxious and scared. That's Kevin Durant could not have gotten anywhere near the paint in the late 80s, early 90s. It just that just couldn't have been a thing. It wouldn't have been possible. The Pistons would have ended his life. I literally think the Pistons could have killed him. Like, I think he could have been killed.
Right. No. Kevin Durant, Lance, forget about it. Of course, Kevin, you listen, when you grow up in a different era, though, you grow up different.
Right.
And Kevin Durant would have had to get tougher. Kevin Durant would have had those toothpick arms of his. He would have had to work out. He would have had to get stronger.
But Scotty had toothpick, like he was sinewy. Is that the word? Is it sinewy
or
sinewy?
Yeah, but he was strong. Sinewy.
He was, there's a lot of guys who weren't very big. Like, the weightlifting stuff started around when Jordan did, because back in the 80s, it was 70s and 80s. Forget about it. Guys were really skinny. Every once in a while, you'd have a Karl Malone, you know, who was naturally bigger. From time to time, you'd have Bill, you know, you'd have Bill Laimbeer wasn't muscular. He wasn't a muscular guy at all. He was just a big person, but he wasn't muscular and well-built. He was just a big, thick-boned guy. But the weight training stuff did start more in the early 90s. When Jordan started hitting it, that's actually when a lot of guys were hitting it. And so you did see, like, but Kevin Durant would have always been a beanpole. That's his body type. He would have never changed. And it's all about how mentally tough you are. Like, LeBron could have absolutely played in that era. LeBron would have been fine in that era. LeBron can play physical. He can take physical stuff. I think some of his, you know, if LeBron didn't have his the front for social media where he's trying to do this and he wants to show out for a, you know, for the groups and catch his, you know, and catch his cred with this and that. And that's, I don't even blame him, because that's just, that's going to be an entire generation. I mean, it's been rolling now for 12 years since 2008, and it's got hot and heavy around 2010 is when it really kicked off. I just think LeBron would have been fine in that era. He would have been fine with all the, you know, the rivalries.
Like
that, and it wasn't, but what really is standing out about The Last Dance is that how not friendly many of those guys were back in the day. Your team was your squad. That was your gang. Your team was your gang. But AAU, widespread travel teams and AAU, the hardcore AAU stuff, really has changed that to where there's just people want to bounce all over the league, play with friends and all that stuff. Back in the day, a lot of guys just didn't like each other because you were trying to take something they wanted. Like, if you wanted to win the championship, you're trying to take something that I want, and I don't really like you for that. Right.
Well, it was a different. Did you?
That's
hear
what
him?
I'm saying.
I hate how much he hated the Pistons. I mean, you don't. You just don't have that. Kevin Durant lost to Golden State, and then he went and joined him.
Yeah,
that just.
Yeah.
You,
now the Pistons are a tough one, though. I would have. It would have been better if he said I hated the Knicks. Of course, the Knicks were really physical too. Pretty much everyone in the East was physical. But if he had said I hated the Celtics. But I never heard him say that. The Pistons he hated
because
they were dirty.
No, there was a respect there. And that's exactly why, you know, that Boston did walk off the floor. Boston absolutely walked off the floor. Kevin McHale was the only one that shook the hand, and it was only because Zeke grabbed him. It was only because Isaiah Thomas grabbed him.
You didn't know that, did you? I didn't know that.
Yes, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know
it. But you, when you see it, you see, and Kevin McHale isn't shaking his hand to congratulate him. Kevin McHale's yelling at him. And I could see why. They were a bunch of a-holes, and Boston was not happy to be handing over the title to those guys. And Boston was like, "You guys are a bunch of thugs. You're not playing basketball. You're thugs." And so I could totally understand. So Isaiah said, "Well, that's how you hand it over." No, it's not. That's how Boston handed it over to you, because you guys were a bunch of ruffians, and you weren't basketball players, and they weren't happy because you tried to hurt people. You were a bunch of a-holes. And I'm thrilled that Isaiah Thomas didn't get on Dream Team and get that kind of, because Jordan did. He cooled him out. Jordan made sure that he didn't get in. And you know what? Mm-hmm. You guys won titles only because of what a-holes you were. And that's not the way to win. That's not what the bad boys did at that time was not basketball.
I disagree with that a little bit. They won because they were super talented. I mean, Joe Dumars.
No, they won because they beat everybody up, and they didn't care if they hurt you.
But they didn't beat up the Lakers. Like, when they beat the Lakers.
Oh, they didn't? Did you see Rodman covering Magic?
Yeah. That's not beating up, John. That's playing good defense. It's getting in his face. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, well,
Let's not play soft like they're playing now.
Ask the Lakers if they thought that.
No, I follow that team religiously because of I love basketball. I really wanted them to beat the Lakers. They didn't do that stuff to the Lakers. They didn't do this stuff to Clyde Drexler and the Portland Trailblazers, really. That was really specifically the Jordan stuff, and the Celtics got it. They would unleash it at different times, but that was a really talented team. John Sally as a backup. I mean, he was Joe Dumars is the one guy who I just saw Joe Dumars hustle. The cheap shot artists were Rodman was a cheap shot artist. Lambeer was a cheap shot artist. Sally would every once in a while do some stuff. Well, Mahorn wasn't on there the whole time.
No.
As a matter of fact, I don't even know.
He's one of them that started it.
Yeah, he was there like a year. He wasn't even on there. He was with Washington Wizards or Washington Bullets. Detroit. He was on there until, 88-89 is his last year there with Detroit. And that was when they were just almost about to win a title, right? Or did they win it in 88?
He was there 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah, but the bad boys didn't start then. Rodman and all that stuff.
Well, he was there on the team that lost to the Lakers in the finals.
Yeah, but they weren't I don't think they were called bad boys at that year. I think it wasn't until the next year. But Mahorn, now make no mistake, Mahorn and that's where Lambeer got all his stuff, was Mahorn was a card carrying a-hole too. And he was one of those guys. But I think the Pistons won because the Pistons were a really talented team. They did try to take you out of your, but I don't want the documentary everyone to think, and because the Bad Boys documentary came out, if you actually watched all those games, you only saw that very, very rarely. You'd see it at, but they're capturing all of them and they're making an entire documentary out of it called The Bad Boys, and then they had that they feature this with Jordan because that's what Jordan had to face, but he might face it twice in a game. That was it. Rodman's defense, dude, that's how you're supposed to defend. The way he was up on Magic's ball hand and he played him. I also thought Brendan Malone talking about what the Jordan rules were, that was really cool where he said, look, the Jordan rules are just this. We're going to push Jordan from the baseline to the elbow. We're going to push him there. We were going to double team only from the top. We didn't go from an angle. We came from the top. And then we were going to influence him to his left hand. There really wasn't that much to the Jordan rules. That's pretty standard, just smart
basketball. Well, and when he came in the middle, he hit the ground.
You weren't going to let him. You weren't going to let him have free reign to the
right.
And that was.
Did you ever read the book?
I read about the first quarter of the book,
and it was, you know, they were talented, no question about it. But they got where they were because of physicality and intimidation. And when the Bulls finally decided that they weren't going to be intimidated anymore, then it changed. Everything changed. They weren't the bullies anymore. And you know what? That's fine. But to me, listen, I've got a special place in hell for the Pistons. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking what you say with a grain of salt, because we all know they were dirty. But you're like, the only reason they won is because they were scraping people out of the eyes and hitting them with the brass knuckles.
Oh, did you see what they did? Listen, you know, you can say that was a small part. If you go through all of the Pistons highlights and all of the stuff that they did, they didn't show a fraction of the crap that they pulled, that the Pistons pulled.
I'll tell you right now that they were – it was always Laimbeer primarily. Laimbeer was the dirtiest player that's ever played that I've ever seen, and that includes Stockton or anybody. The Jazz had a lot of weaselly stuff. Vernon Maxwell pointed that out on – Rex Chapman pointed that out. He's like, dude, the Jazz were right up there. The Jazz were a super dirty team, and no one talks about that. There's no one that talks about the bad boy Jazz. No one ever mentions that. But they were dirty, too. But the dirtiest ever was Bill Laimbeer. Laimbeer didn't even try to – it wasn't even a hard foul. Bill Laimbeer would rake you across the head, just hit you basically with forearm shivers. But you also remember, back in the 70s, which I got to see when Laimbeer started, because they would just have – like in the 80s, they would have fist fights and guys wouldn't get kicked out of games. It was crazy. Guys would have fist fights. It wasn't the pushing like, if you – well, let me at him. Let me at him. It wasn't one of those fights. It was Xavier – X-Man. Xavier McDaniel literally choking John Drew. There's a famous picture of him as John Drew standing right next to him, and he got so mad that he put both hands around him and started choking John Drew and would have killed him if people didn't notice it. You can see John Drew's eyes almost popping out of his head. That's what 80s basketball is. You could have a fist fight, a full-on fist fight, and it would be a double technical, and let's move about our business, folks. It was insane. The '70s were even worse. That's when Rudy got his face punched off.
Oh,
Calvin Murphy would have a fight. It was almost like hockey.
Yeah. No. And then in the ABA, came over. Oh, good Lord.
Now, the ABA is where it was really, really bad.
We were talking about it yesterday. Man, if the NBA was still like that, how sweet would it be? Except they'd be like, it'd be baseball fights now.
It'd be like bad boy Pistons. You'd hate it.
No.
I didn't mind the physicality.
I didn't like the dirty. I didn't like how dirty they were. I didn't mind the physicality at all. That was awesome. What I didn't like was the Pistons. I just didn't like the Pistons. Screw the Pistons. They're a bunch of a-holes. All right, time to talk about speaking of a good guy. All right, and when we come back, the Texans have done some things that we need to talk about. Yeah, there's Texans news once again. But right now I want to talk about John Clay Wolf and GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. But, man, John Clay Wolf is still buying cars. I think CarMax is – I don't know if CarMax is closed or whatever. But John Clay Wolf says, man, I'm taking a hit. I'm taking a loss. And, oh, by the way, you just have to adjust. You have to adjust what you thought your car was worth before to what it is today, because it's just not the same. The car market just isn't the same. And he's taken a beating. John Clay Wolf brought his – there were still auctions that they can do online, and he brought his vehicles there, and he took a beating. And right now he says, well, you know what, I'm buying, but you just have to realize it. And everybody's got a higher price or higher – they think they're going to get more. That's just the reality of it now. But if you've got to get out of that car, if you're upside down, you need to get out. If you can't afford the payments, go to GiveMeTheVin.com, because John Clay Wolf is still giving you the most you'll get. Now, it's not as much as you might have gotten before. It's the most you'll get, though, at GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Can you do me one favor?
Yeah.
When you're arguing with your brother in the backyard about who's better.
Oh, are y'all? You got to mute that conversation.
Oh, my God.
You just got to mute. Just hit mute.
Why am I in on it? Could you two please do this at home?
Do you know what happens when the NFL's account.
You punch each other in the face?
When the NFL's account tags. Mike is just arguing to argue. Before you know it, he's like, when you're in an argument that involves James Harden is a hardworking, or is like, when it starts off as it started off that somebody, Dustin was talking about Jordan versus, I mean, Rodman versus James or somebody like Rodman. I don't even remember how it started off. And then it started talking, and then my brother started arguing, well, we don't know what James does. You don't know unless you're there behind the scenes. You don't know how hard James is working and how much it means to him. Maybe he processes losses differently. And maybe it, yeah, it maybe really eats at him on the
maybe
inside.
Maybe he goes right to the strip club.
Or to the all-whites party in the boat in Miami or whatever.
Yeah, you don't know how he processes.
I feel like we've got enough. I feel like, number one, he should have just texted me and just because I could have just told him like two stories and it would have been a wrap. But I feel like you have to be careful when we're talking about the Jordan era Bulls and we start like, well, but however, the thing with James is he also scores a lot of points and maybe what? He also loves it as much as Jordan. And is that competitive? Like, that's not.
That is certainly not true.
I understand that Mike has been arguing against me about whatever for years.
Yeah. Can you guys do that in the backyard?
That's not the Twitter is the backyard.
So Marcia can make you two a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You just have to mute conversation. We can't worry about you. You just mute conversation. You control. You can turn a channel. Tyler, can you not turn a channel?
I can't turn the channel when you guys are in the same room screaming at each other.
Mute conversation.
And I'm going to have to. I'm going to call Larry.
I just told you. Tyler, can you tell him how to mute conversation?
Can you do me a favor?
It's very simple.
Can you go to your Wikipedia page and give Marcia a little credit?
Why?
You know, your Wikipedia page, it says parents,
like that.
Larry Zerline. And where's Marcia? How come she mom gets nothing?
I don't know. I got mom a whole article by Richard Justice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, she got nothing on Wikipedia.
I don't think she wants to be on Wikipedia.
Okay.
All right, somebody make John a Wikipedia today.
No, I don't know.
Well, you want the gospel.
No. I just want yours to be. And by the way, it was written by Snacks because the only you mentioned your wife once that you're married, but then it says, "Oh, Snacks is a regular on the show. No. Snacks is constantly being talked about on the radio show." Yeah,
I don't. The fact that you're paying attention to Wikipedia. What is wrong? We got to get this, Governor Abbott. Thank you for lifting this because John has got to get off. You got to get off Wikipedia.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. It was for whatever reason I went there yesterday or I forget when, maybe Friday. But it was really concerning. But Marcia's not getting any credit for you.
Marcia's fine. I think Marcia's fine. I got her a whole article by Richard Justice during the Super Bowl about a coach's wife.
Forgotten about that now because Richard Justice has turned on the city. Richard Justice has turned on the city, so no one cares about it anymore.
Richard has not turned on the city. He's consider him a good friend.
He thinks the Red Sox that Alex Cora did.
He was right. I guess he was right. And it wasn't the Red Sox. He thinks the Yankees.
No, it wasn't the Red Sox. But he was on saying after the Red Sox, oh, good, look, you see, it was not nearly as egregious. Oh, see what the report says? Oh, it's all good. The Red Sox are all good. Oh, God. Yeah. Richard Justice has turned on this city. And you know what?
And stop saying that or he'll never come on the show. I like Richard still. Richard's my buddy.
I like Richard, too.
He didn't want to come on for like a couple years.
I don't like his stance on this.
You weren't on the air when he had his big stance with me and took me to task for saying that the Yankees could possibly.
No, I see his stuff now. I know. And his interviews now.
I know. I don't want Richard to think that we don't like. I like Richard. I want Richard back on the show.
I like Richard, too. I don't like his stance
on the city.
I just said I don't like his stance on this subject.
You said he turned on the city. He didn't turn on the city.
He turned on me.
Let's talk about the Texans. There's Texans. You said there's Texan stuff, and there's a lot of Texan stuff, actually.
Yeah. All
because
right.
I've got a lot of stuff that I put out on Fred and AJ show yesterday. That I got just yesterday that we need to talk about. But first, talk about the safety.
All right. First of all, Gibson, gone. Beat it. All right. Now, you had talked about that the other
day
when they picked up Michael Thomas. And they also they signed Eric Murray.
Jalen Watkins.
Yeah, Jalen Watkins. And you were like, oh, looks
like. They signed three safeties, so Gibson was going to be gone.
Gibson must have, I don't know if he was late to a practice. I don't know if he maybe walked instead of jogged at a practice.
Just wasn't good.
But whatever the case may be, something to do with practice. Beat it. You're out of here, pal. You know, listen, here's the lesson that I think they should have learned by now. don't sign any Jaguar defensive backs. They suck. If the Jaguars don't want them anymore, then no one should have them.
He started because three they suck. Games.
Hmm?
I mean, he started 14 games, rather.
I know, and they put him on IR before the playoff game.
You know, it's interesting. The actual stats are much better than he had in Jacksonville. He had eight passes defensed. He hadn't had that since 2014. He had three interceptions. That's the most he had since, well, he had four in 17, and then he had six in 14. But Tayshaun Gibson was a free agent with Jacksonville. He came over from Cleveland to Jacksonville. Really didn't have any impact on winning in Jacksonville. Came to Houston. He's flamed out after 1 year with Houston, and they move along. Now, the thing he was supposed to bring to the table, the reason they brought him in, matchup with tight ends. And that was just not, A, he wasn't there at the end of the year, and B, there was no big, I don't think he was a big factor at all. I think they're going cheaper than Tayshaun Gibson, but that's their second miss on a DB in free agency. I'd rather they just shut it down after 1 year. But you know what? If he can't play, can't play. Get him out of there. That's fine. I honestly don't have any problem with it.
Honestly, he probably, you know, when Bill O'Brien brings the team, all right, tomorrow, listen, we're going to go an hour early. We're going to go at 8 o'clock instead of 9, guys. Tayshaun Gibson probably went, oh. And Bill O'Brien said, cut, beat it, okay? Because you just said, aw. I mean, when we're going to practice earlier, because everybody needs to want to practice earlier. So you're cut, beat it.
So here's a conversation I had yesterday. So I'm writing an article. We'll save it for the other side. When we come back, I had a conversation with an NFL cap guy for a team. And I got a hold of him because I've got to write an article about compensatory picks and how many, I have to project how many compensatory picks are going to the teams and yada, yada, yada. So I reached out to an NFL cap guy, a real live NFL cap guy who currently works for a team. And he was helping me out with this. And I decided to ask him about the Texans' moves. And when we come back, John, I'll tell you what he had to say about all their moves.
Okay. That'll be happening next. But right now, being a champion, and that's not what they're doing over there. But what we're doing right now is talking about being a champion. Champion.energy/1560. We're talking about, and listen, I got the air on. We've had it on every single night. You know, because we like to sleep when it's cooler. We like to keep it in the 60s. And you just got to use your air. And now that it's starting to get hot. And by the way, I don't know if you know this. It's going to be hot this summer. So you're going to be using it more and more and more. And guess what? They're not saying, oh, it's okay. You don't have to pay us. No, you have to pay them. And here's the deal is when you do pay them, you want to pay them less. So here's what you do. You go to champion.energy/1560. Oh, but wait, they got nights and weekends over there. That's great. That's great. And then when it's not nights and weekends, you're paying out the watts. I'm telling you, you just go to champion.energy/1560, and you're paying less every single month, period.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know why, but I don't know. Did you ever see Mad Dog Vachon's prosthetic leg used as a weapon in a wrestling match?
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Shawn Michaels defeated challenger Diesel. No holds barred match.
Oh.
This guy was sitting in the Mad Dog Vachon was just sitting there. He picked him up and he took his leg off and then he started beating the other guy with it. See, that's the kind of entertainment Snacks is all about.
Yeah. No, I don't. Listen, I loved wrestling when I was his age. I don't begrudge it. I just, what sucks is he started to pull away from like his one first love, which was NBA. And now that there is no NBA, but of course wrestling can still survive, and he's got a whole crap load of YouTube videos that he's still catching up on. I mean, he has wrestling action figures. He has wrestling matches every day. Now he's drawn pictures of wrestlers with art. Like, those are his personal art projects he does every day. Is here's Undertaker. Here's me as a wrestler. Here's this wrestler. And so I just thought he's looking on YouTube, and somehow there's YouTube videos of people drawing wrestlers. And so he's now going through a how to draw wrestlers stage by stage. But I heard my wife, this is maybe the saddest that I've been in years. My son has his little, earphones in, and he's got an iPad, and there's a game of Uno going, like a virtual game of Uno. I'm like, oh, cool, he's playing his friends or whatever. That's fine. I don't care, you know, because my kids play outside too, so I don't care. He's playing Uno against his friends. And you can do it virtually. Maybe I should look into doing that with somebody or whatever. Then
with poker,
I notice I notice that I don't see him playing anything. And I said, "Hey, or who? Which guy are you?" He's in the kitchen. It's me and my wife are also in the kitchen. Which guy are you? He goes, "Oh, I'm not playing. I'm just watching this on YouTube." My wife said, "You are bleeping watching a YouTube video of somebody playing Uno?" She goes, "Turn it off and do something else." Like, he goes, "But I'm not really just watching them play Uno. These people are funny. They're YouTubers, and it's actually funny." She goes, "You're not watching people play Uno. You're not even playing Uno. You're watching somebody play Uno." She goes, "Turn it off." And she made him turn it off right then. I can't do this. I can't do these Zoomers, the Generation Z, the fact that they watch people play video games instead of playing them themselves. And you can save your tweets to me to explain it. I'm never going to understand. That's like watching, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch somebody have intercourse. You know what I want to do? Have it. Because you know what's even better?
People do that. I don't know if you heard, but people watch other people do that all the time.
I know. And you know what? I still feel like the other way's better.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. I'm going to watch people eat food. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to watch people have a drink. I'm going to have it. I'm going to watch people play video games. I'm going to play myself.
What about
my favorite unboxing?
What about all these reality people? What about the Housewives of New York that my family, my girls are hooked on?
Well, that's.
I'm like, you're watching other people live. And oh, by the way, who wants to watch them?
You can live vicariously through them. I get why people watch that stuff. It's not my thing. John, I'm talking about watching somebody play a video game. How about this? Well, Lance, it's just like somebody watching somebody play football in real life. No, it's not, because I can't play football in real life. I could play Madden in real life. Here's another one. It's because they're so good. I don't want to hear it. And this is one I really don't want to hear. How about people who like to watch other people unbox presents? No, Tyler, I know you know that's a thing. Unboxing presents. I'm sorry, excuse me, what? Yeah, this has like 7 million hits. Wait, what do you do? It's people watch other people unwrap presents.
There's like a 10-year-old. He makes millions of dollars.
Don't say it.
Yeah, all right. I know.
Why can't Snacks do that? Unwrap presents.
I would be so conflicted.
Probably because he doesn't get any. What is the Texans news that you have?
Now it's ruined, because all I can think of is how kids are unwrapping presents and making millions. And I'm probably buying presents. It's costing me thousands.
And here we are.
So I talked to a cap guy about compensatory picks and what's going on. And he was telling me about how the NFL is threatening to – the reason that Jameis Winston has not been signed yet by the Saints. Do you know the reason?
Yeah, now apparently today he can, because now there's no compensatory pick.
Correct. And that's illegal. The NFL has already said, if you do this stuff to game the system, we could take your compensatory picks away from you if you're intentionally doing it. It's not about the Saints. It's about – because the Saints aren't going to get a compensatory pick this year, I don't think. Oh, yeah, actually they are getting one. So this time it technically is. The thing that makes this really interesting is that they're preventing – they have – so this cap guy said what's happening is teams and agents are coming to verbal agreements and promises – And it's good. That's considered gold now. During the pandemic, if you get a promise from a team, it's a promise. It's good. You're gold. And the teams right now are gaming the system so that they don't have to get, when they're signing a player, the deadline was yesterday for it to count against you in the compensatory pick formula. And these teams have been, these teams are very, very smart. A lot of them are getting these third round picks and fourth round picks. And they, Tom Brady was drafted for a sixth rounder. Now he's bringing in a third rounder after winning all those titles too. That's pretty sweet. Kyle Van Noy is going to get a fourth. Jamie Collins is going to get a fourth. So Bill Belichick is going to get a third, fourth, fourth for guys he's losing, which you don't like losing them, but if you're going to lose them, those are pretty decent picks to get, especially when you can move around a draft board. So we're talking about all of that, and he talks about the fact that the Saints are actually trying to block they're trying to block Tampa Bay from getting a comp pick for Jameis, because the Jameis comp pick probably would have been a fourth, depending on what he signs for, and maybe a third, because Teddy Bridgewater brought in a third. Because he signed a contract for $21 million. So while I got him there, he says, hey, I know what happened with the Texans and the Lions. Do you want to know what that was? Because, A, it wasn't Bill O'Brien goofing on Zoom or whatever it was. He said what happened was that the Lions were calling around teams offering a really bad contract. He said they were offering a fourth and a fifth to move up to the Texans' third round pick, or to the team's third round picks. He said it was an awful one. It was you were basically moving back several spots from your spot in the third. You're going to flip flop. You weren't really getting a fourth. You were flip flopping. So you had to take their fourth round pick while they got your third round pick. And to do that, they would give you a fifth next year. And he's like, that's awful. There's no trade charts that say this is okay. He goes, you don't even, it's so bad that you think it's something else. You think they're giving you a future fourth and a future fifth to for yours. He goes, in that case, we would have taken a future fourth and a future fifth to move. He said, but it wasn't. It was flip-flopping. You were just moving into their fourth round pick. And basically, he explained it to me. He goes,
but "Wait, but so you would get so your third with the Texans' third was 90th was the Texans' third was no f- yeah it was 90th. Mm-hmm. So you would get their fourth round pick.
Detroit had a pick that was way in the back end. They had I think they had two different ones in the fourth. I think he was telling me. And instead of the early one, they were giving you the late one. You were going to flip there, and for your jump." They were offering a fifth-round pick. So, and he's like, no, that's not enough. You got to.
Okay, so they had the fourth-rounder was the 121st pick.
Yeah.
So to Texans 90th, you would have moved back so 31 spots.
31 spots.
Plus you would have got a fifth from them next year.
Yeah, you would have had to move back 31 spots for a fifth, and a fifth is not. The trade value chart says no. Not
31
even.
Spots for a fifth-rounder.
Every
no
team
way.
Turned them down and went like, this is – terrible. Why are you doing? My guy said, he said, what? This, he thought it was something else. He goes, yeah, we'll take that. He goes, it's this, this, and this, right? And they go, no. We're just flipping. You're not getting our extra fourth. He thought they were getting their other fourth or something else. I can't remember. Or a future fourth also. They go, no. You're misunderstanding. He goes, that's terrible. That's a terrible. He goes, yeah, I know. And he said, the guy on the other line goes, yeah, I know. And he said, what happened, he goes, I guarantee you what happened was, and I don't know if he knows this happened through the Lions, but he said what happened was the Texans thought the same thing he initially thought, and that Easterby thought the same thing he thought, which was it was a much better trade for the team because they misinterpreted the trade. And then at the end when they called to try to get the pick, Detroit's like, no, that deal's not on the – That's not on the board. That's not the deal. And the Texans thought they had a trade, but it was a trade that was never there, that Detroit was trying to give the Texans, and really every team in the league that they called, a really bad trade to move up. And the Texans said, deal. And when they called back to make the deal, they actually thought it was a different deal they were making. And when they found out, no, that's not the deal, they were pissed off about it. That's what he said happened with that. That it was a Detroit was trying to screw people over, and the Texans – when they realized that they were probably not happy. And they thought they had a different deal in place than it actually was. Now, I said, hey, while I got you, what are your thoughts on the Texans picks or moves? He goes, well, let me just say this. Laramie Tunsil, let's start there. He goes, now we got to wait till the other break. But here's how I start off everything. I first knew there was a problem when I started hearing reports from other people about how inexperienced their shoppers were. Now, inexperienced their shoppers were, I'll explain that term to you, and you'll certainly get that when we come back. And then he went down all the moves they've had so far, and I think you'll find it pretty interesting. But I also don't think you'll find it super surprising.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to find it sickening. But we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome to the Zanny family.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
All right.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Tyler, where he'll join us in about an hour and 12 minutes. So, okay, we've been talking Texans and how this one cap guy that you talked to yesterday really, really loved everything that the Texans have been doing. So let's continue that.
Okay.
A lot of these deals, let's talk about Tunsil's deal.
Okay, so first thing he said was everyone knows you're going to get a really good deal with Jack Easterby. And he said that Kevin Kakunis, or the guy who's handling the cap stuff right now, he said he's a good guy. I don't think he was the assistant for Chris Olsen. He has not been a guy with the experience to do what needs to be done from a cap standpoint. He still is fairly inexperienced like that. By the way, he had heard the same thing, that Kevin was gone, had quit, but then he said he's still there. So he said something must have happened. But anyway, he said that I knew there would be problems when I started hearing people talk about how inexperienced their shoppers were in the rooms when they were having meetings at the combine. And he said, inexperienced shoppers, meaning they don't have experience with understanding value of players they want to sign players they want to sign either from other teams or their own teams. And that agents are talking about, boy, they're really inexperienced shoppers. I'd never heard that term before. And he said, basically, so for me, like for draft stuff, I can look at a player and I can give you an idea of what round he's going to go in, because you look at height, weight, speed. There's just a feel that you get because guys look a certain way. He looks like a second round or a fifth round or whatever. He said in free agency, it's the same way. He said you basically take a look at their health, their output and performance that they have, their time, their age, and you can come up with a reasonable idea of what a guy's going to cost. He said, all of us can do it. He goes, most general managers can do it. He said, it's not really that hard. But the Texans, Jack Easterby's never done that. Bill O'Brien's never done that. He said, Kevin Kay, he's never really done that, even though he's been on the cap side. And he said, the first sign that they had problems was the contract for, or he said one of his first signs was the contract for Randall Cobb. He said, Randall Cobb, based on his age, his output, and his health, he said, you give him a two-year. He said, this is standard across the board. He goes, the first thing you say is, this is a heavy wide receiver draft, and you have all the leverage. And wide receivers are not going to get good deals. And he said, across the board, you'll find that was the case. They're either not in demand or didn't get good deals at all, because the teams have all the leverage, because it was an historic wide receiver draft from a depth standpoint. He said, so that is a two-year deal that Cobb gets with 1 year guaranteed. He goes, you're probably talking about $12 million per year that you could offer him. You offer a little bit more. He said they did a three-year $27 million deal. That's the name of the term, but really it was $18 million. He said they got $18 million guaranteed. He said, instead, what you likely want to do in that case is offer a two-year deal with 1 year guaranteed at $12 million, he said, in that neighborhood. And then he said, or even push it down lower to $10 million because you've got all the leverage. And then you have on the second year, you can change the, you can alter how much the salary cap spot is. But more importantly, if you need to get out of his contract after a year because he didn't perform, you can get out of the contract after a year. He said, the Texans, Bill O'Brien is about to find something. He said, and Lance, Bill O'Brien's going to get better at this. He said, because this is going to be learning experience. Mm-hmm. What he's going to learn is there's a good chance that he's going to realize next year, crap, we can't get out of this Randall Cobb deal. We got stuck in it for an extra year. That was his first thing. He said, most cap guys would have strongly gone to the 2 year with 1 year guaranteed because Randall Cobb had no leverage. The second one he said was the deal with Brandon Cooks. He said, in no way, shape, or form are you taking that deal if you're the Texans. That's not the deal. That's not the trade. That's not the deal. That's not the value for a guy who, with those injuries, he said, you in no way are you giving away a second rounder for a guy with a concussion past who a team is has to get rid of for cap reasons. They have no leverage. You have all the leverage there to take that deal on. You basically give up nothing. He said you shouldn't. The Texans shouldn't have given up more than a fourth for that deal at most. Then when we talked about Tunsil, he still believes that there's a good chance that an agent was involved in his previous agent. I think it may have been Jimmy Sexton, was involved with Tunsil's deal. He said, you'll notice Tunsil remarked in his press conference how much his advisors helped, his advisors. He said he mentioned his advisors multiple times. He said, my guess is he still had an agent working for him. And the agent had no hard feelings. And he helped Tunsil anyway with this deal because he said that is a deal that an agent would get. And for Tunsil to be able to represent himself, quote unquote, and get more than 20% higher than the highest paid tackle in football, he goes, that's absurd. A player should not be able to beat you out of a 20% higher than the highest paid player at the position.
Unless you're an
inexperienced negotiator, and unless you have an agent who's actually your quote unquote, you know, you maybe are paying him a flat fee and saying, look, I'll give you $150,000 to do this deal, $100,000, but yeah, you're not getting 1%, 2%, 3%. And he said, my guess is his advisors were somebody who's getting a flat fee who's got experience in this. He clearly had experience in the people behind him. But I said, so what do you think about paying that? He goes, it's preposterous. You reset. He said, if you're the Texans, you don't make the trade unless the deal is done. Just like, and he mentioned Chris Ballard. He said, just like the Colts did it, that's how you do it. It's one first-round pick for Tunsil, and he said, if you want to go over the top, you give him another second-round pick. He said, you never give him two first-round picks when you have to get a new deal done. And you had to get a new deal done for Tunsil. And he just said not doing that ended up costing them probably $4 million.
This is all common sense.
But he said the $22 million, he said, it should have never even hit 20. He said it should have never hit 20. It's
well,
only
no,
because you lost
all the leverage. It did.
Yeah. Well, that
we
that's,
knew it was going to.
But that's
when
what
he
I'm saying. He just said the leverage. He said if you got a deal done at the time, you could have made him 18.5. He thinks 18.5, $19 million.
Right. Unless Tunsil wouldn't have done. Unless here's the deal: two after Tango, and if Tunsil just said no, I'll just stay here in Miami. I'm not doing no deal. Then you got a problem. Because I want to go to free agency. I'll just stay here another year, 2 years, and I'll be fine. You know what? I don't have to go to Houston. So that's reasonable. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm. That Tunsil wouldn't have done that. Now, if Tunsil wanted out of there because they were going to tank for Tua and he didn't want to lose, and he was like, well, they don't want me here.
He was surprised when he got traded. He even said that in his press conference. He didn't know that was coming at all.
Well, then, you know what? Then that's just stupid that you didn't go to him and say, all right, we're trading for you, but you got to sign an extension.
Because Bill O'Brien said
you,
the team
would. You'll be the highest paid tackle in the league.
He said the team wouldn't allow him to do it. the Vikings, the Dolphins.
No.
Just
he did not
agent.
Say that. No.
What did he say?
He said, you know that the other team has to allow you to do that. He didn't say the Dolphins didn't allow him to
do
that.
Well, that's what he means by that, though.
But I know he means that. No. See, that's where the lie is. That's where the big lie is. He said, you know. Now, he said, DeAndre Hopkins wants more money. He didn't say we traded him because he wants more money. What he said is, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wants more money. What he said was, you know, the other team, because if you ask the Dolphins today, did you guys not allow them to negotiate with Laremy Tunsil? The Dolphins would say, no, they never even asked us. So what he said was, you know, the other team doesn't have to allow you to do an extension.
Hold on. See, I literally read it as he intimated that I don't know what.
Yeah, of course he intimated.
Well, that's – well, what do you mean? That's the same thing.
But just like Lance, just like he said forever, well, we have to trade DeAndre Hopkins. We have to trade DeAndre Hopkins because he wants more money. Well, then he said, well, it wasn't about money. It was really about making our team better. Okay? So now he's saying, you know – the other team has to allow you to do the extension, and until the Dolphins come out and say, well, they never even asked us about that, you know, then he can backtrack on it.
I'm looking for exactly what he said, because I feel like he actually said that.
No, he did not say the Dolphins didn't let us. He said, you know, the other team has to allow you to do that.
The other team doesn't have to. You could go right to the agent. Y'all had the same agent. They were both represented by CAA. That's not even. That's why I can't listen to any of that stuff. They had the same agent. More than likely, a trade got done because the agent said, just get the deal done and we'll make sure we get a contract done with you.
No. If the agent was smart, he wouldn't do a deal.
It's all baloney coming out of that building.
He wants them to go to free agency and have all the leverage.
You can't. No. Well, yeah. That's why you say, no, we'll get a deal done. Just trade them.
Right.
Just get the trade done, Bill. We'll make sure you get a deal done.
Right. And guess what happened? $22 million. Yeah. Congratulations. Well, $750,000.
The agent did his job then.
Yeah.
Representing for the those on hold of 25 more. Season done, put 25 out the door.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save